You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show whose name has secretly been Go-Gurt the whole time. I'm Cody, and my Baby Yoda name is Gronky.
I'm Josh, and my Baby Yoda name is... It's not a phase, Mom.
I'm Samantha, and my Baby Yoda name is Grubert.
And I'm Sam, and my Baby Yoda name is Rum-Tum Tugger.
It's Baby Yoda names. It's going to be the hot new
thing. It's the hot new trend.
Everybody's going to be sharing their Baby Yoda name.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting in on the ground floor with this Baby Yoda thing. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Ooh, that was a good choice.
Yeah, thanks.
Merry Krimbus.
It's Life Day month.
Well, speaking of Christmas, one of my check-em-outs this week is a Christmas movie. So this is something that I typically, in the past, didn't really get into all that much. But Jordan, former guest of the show, Jordan Taylor, is a huge fan of overly saccharine, purposely bad Christmas movies. And Netflix...
They got you covered.
They got us covered. Oh yeah, yeah. So
a smorgasbord of hot holiday garbage.
Not only is it a smorgasbord, we keep up with them. So there's an internal continuity between a lot of the Netflix original Christmas movies. To that end,
the shared Christmas universe.
It really is a shared universe. We watched The Christmas Switch 2.
There was a first one.
That's the Vanessa Hudgens one.
It's the Vanessa Hudgens one. So in the first one, a princess of a vaguely European small country and a New York or possibly Bostonian cake baker.
Christmas, New York.
It's
the same one from Christmas Prince.
Christmas Prince, yes. Same universe. So,
which we did watch. We can talk about that next.
Okay, cool. So, so in the first movie, they switched places, hijinks ensued, and at the end, they both ended up with the swapped partners or what have you. Because Christmas and magic and love and romance and what have
it's
you.
It's the prince and the pauper and Christmas and with some swinging involved?
Kind of. A little bit, yeah. A little bit of that in there.
That's how you made it sound.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it don't mean that thing if it ain't got that swing.
But so this one picks up about 2 years after the first one. And surprise, surprise, there's a third Christmas twin. A secret third. And she's evil.
Of course, there's got to be an evil twin.
Yes.
Does she have a goatee?
She doesn't, but she has a very... Boy, I can't place the accent. I don't know what Vanessa Hudgens was trying to do with this third character.
Well, the second one has like an English accent.
Second one's English, and the third one is like, "Hello, darling, I'm here to..."
Like a posh
Posh New England, yes.
Trying to be like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, actually kind of Zsa Zsa Gabor-ish. And it involves the princess Switch. They switch.
Again?
Oh, yeah.
For the third time?
For the second time, but then there is a switch within the switch because the evil one tries to switch with the queen, who is in actuality the baker who has been switched for the queen so the queen could have some time off.
Oh, my eyes have crossed.
I feel like it's that we should like put the meme up of like Charlie Day with
the Pepe Sylvia. Yeah.
But no, it's sure is a Christmas movie. That is one thing I will say. They definitely keep it on theme as far as holiday related. They don't go, it's not like it's a script where it's
This just happens to be.
It's not a Die Hard situation where it's a movie that just happens to take place during Christmas. It's an actual Christmas movie. And at the very end, there is a coronation. The Christmas princess becomes a Christmas queen. And at the coronation/marriage, I'm not really sure how it works. the prince and princess from A Christmas Prince.
Oh my God.
Are there in attendance. Which rolls into your guys's.
Man, yeah. it's like when Rapunzel shows up in Frozen.
Yeah. I can't wait till the next one where Vanessa Hudgens finds a sword that splits her into four different colored Vanessa Hudgenses.
Yes. Yes.
And they have to fight Vati.
The Christmas Switch Four Swords Adventure.
Yeah. But yeah, we watched The Christmas Prince and it was dumb and terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible, probably overkill. I mean, we watched
They're perfectly
the whole
fine.
Thing.
They're yeah. perfectly fine. And you know what? Did you just watch the first one? Because there's three of them.
No, we have not moved on to the sequel yet.
Okay.
But like, I'm a Rose McIver fan, I would say.
Rose McIver
fine.
Is perfectly
yeah.
fine in that. Rose McIver of iZombie and Power Rangers RPM fame. I always like to point that out. Former Power Ranger, represent.
But like the New York in it is like this weird, like weird set that doesn't look like New York.
It's all Vancouver. That's the secret. It's all Vancouver, whether it's New York or Latveria or whatever. What did you think of the acorn?
Oh, yeah. The secret acorn.
The secret acorn tree ornament that the entire third act hinges on.
That only she's smart enough to figure out for some reason. Yeah. I like her little Chuck Taylors that she wears under her dress, so you know she's still her.
Oh yeah, no, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a thing. Okay, so the Christmas Prince movie, the Christmas Switch movie, and The Night Before Christmas, KNIGHT.
That one looks really stupid.
Same universe.
Wow.
It's all connected. It's a multiverse of, yes, it's an MCU of Netflix Christmas films.
I can't wait for the Infinity War of Christmas movies.
They're getting there. I tell you, they are getting there. The crossover and like the references to each other are becoming more and more apparent as the movies go on. Oh, that actually leads me to one of my other things. So like I mentioned, Jordan, she loves these movies. She actually came up with a bingo card for watching bad Christmas movies. And I'm going to read some of the things off here. So you play this when you're at home. If you're watching a Christmas movie and they have obviously empty coffee cups, a precocious child.
Do you get bonus points if she has spina bifida?
Oh my God. Hey, good on them for representation in their Christmas movie.
Yeah.
They couldn't get an actress that actually had spina bifida, but you know, they're trying. Does your Christmas movie have a magical person or animal? Someone who happens to look like Santa Claus.
Oh, we still need to watch Christmas Chronicles too.
Oh yeah. So this is a bingo card. So the free space in the middle is an anti-Christmas tragic backstory.
That sounds about right.
Is there a town meeting because the town is in peril? Or do they make cookies? How many of those did that describe the Christmas Prince?
Oh, there's like six bingos in
yeah.
there. They definitely make cookies.
They definitely make cookies.
There's, you know, like the country's parliament counts as like a town meeting.
It does, yeah.
There's a precocious child and she has spina bifida.
She does. Let's see, important snow globe. I think we can count the acorn as the important snow globe. Yeah. Snowstorm ruins travel plans. Is that in there? I don't
know.
Oh, you know what? I think that's in The Night Before Christmas. There's a magical snowstorm that brings a knight from medieval times to modern day that Vanessa Hudgens, but not that Vanessa Hudgens. A completely different Vanessa Hudgens falls in love with.
Oh, no, she's the fourth twin.
Oh, my God. Oh, no! She's the fourth twin. It's the night Christmas. Oh, God.
Well, maybe you'll be lucky and there'll be the silent night.
I think this is like an Orphan Black situation.
I think it is, yeah.
But with Vanessa Hudgens's.
Oh, by the Christmas Switch 7, every role will be played by Vanessa Hudgens. Every single one of them.
Vanessa Hudgens in The Clumps.
Yeah.
The Christmas Hudgens.
The Christmas. That's the next. Yes, the Christmas Hudgens. Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, the last thing I've been checking out is I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go lately. I mean, I play a lot of Pokemon Go all the time because it's a phone game and it's right there and it's very easy. But they've been adding a lot of neat stuff in the last couple of weeks to the last month or so. They actually did a huge overhaul to their experience point system and their leveling system. They actually added an extra 10 levels. They went from the cap was 40. It's now 50. They've added a bunch of new Pokemon from later gens. The one from Gen 6, I think is what it is. The one based in France, kind of. Kalos.
Oh, X and Y.
Yeah. X and Y, yeah. So they've started adding those in. They're getting more into doing specialty like tasks and like kind of sort of story based events, kind of. They're trying to make it like an actual game. And hey, it's fun and it's free.
When they were doing the whole like Team Rocket radar thing, I could not beat those Team Rocket leaders save my life.
I couldn't either.
I had to unequip the radar because every balloon I tapped or whatever was a leader. And it was like all their Pokemon were like 10,000 CP and more. And
they'll stomp you the first couple of times.
I got like, some beefy dudes too, and I couldn't.
Oh yeah, I've got like a 2,500 something like Gengar and whatnot. I couldn't touch them for anything. I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, I admittedly I play a lot. I've gotten to where I can beat them pretty regularly. But there is one of the leveling. So between levels 40 and 50, not only do you have to hit a certain experience point kind of marker, you have to do a bunch of extra tasks. Like right now, I have to catch 200 Pokemon in a single day.
Ooh.
And also do 30 raids. Just overall, and a bunch of other stuff. And at one point...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, nobody does. But at one point, I guess one of the levels, to go from one to the next, you have to beat all three of the Rocket leaders with a team consisting of only under 1,500 CP.
That's not possible. That
is, it's not possible.
No, that is impossible. There's no way.
It's never going to happen. I will never see level 50.
Because it's not like you can... team up with other players to fight the leaders.
No, it's all a one-on-one thing.
Yeah, it's all one-on fight.
There's not like some item you can cheese them with.
It's just they will stomp you into
like
the ground.
Like a regular RPG, you're like, fine, I'll just buy 500 potions and never die. But you can't do that.
You can't do that, yeah. You just have to keep trying over and over until you just go, well... never mind.
And it's not like the damage you've done carries over to the next, like the rematch.
Right. Yeah. I have a feeling that's going to get rebalanced
after a bit. Oh, yeah. That is unbalanced. It's all get out.
Oh, it really is.
Heck, I had Jesse and James's formula figured out.
Yeah.
No, they're not that hard.
They weren't that hard.
No. It was weak Pokemon, strong Pokemon, weak Pokemon. And they use typically the same three Pokemon all the time.
Every time, yep.
My Arcanine was super effective against everyone all the time.
I tell you, I have so much trouble with Arlo, the one in the hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
That blue YouTube Muppet?
Yeah, God. Oh, I don't like that guy.
I don't like that guy either.
He does not have good opinions about many things.
He's like if some leftover Cookie Monster scraps came to life specifically to have bad Nintendo opinions.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Me, I'm no like the Switch.
Me love Pikmin, like, a lot for some reason.
Well, that's it. That's all I've been checking out this week.
Me no shut up about Paper Mario.
I guess it depends on which one. But anyway.
I want to talk real quick about that Sam & Max remaster that just came out.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's very, very good. They did a very, very nice job remastering it. The graphics look very good.
I was gonna be very disappointed if you didn't grab it, because I figured you would have been like a day one. Oh, like,
yeah, I did.
I heard there was something about, now correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong, but wasn't there a thing where if you had it already downloaded, like you had bought it previously, you could contact them and they would give you like a free code or something?
There's actually on the website, it's Skunk Ape Games, and people who did the remaster. If you had it from Telltale, like on their website, they'll give you a 50% off coupon.
50% off, okay.
You just put in your email, and if it matches up with the data they've got, then you get the coupon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I went to go get the coupon. I already bought it on the Switch, which doesn't work for the Switch
anyway.
Sure,
yeah.
But I went to see if I could get the coupon, and that's when it dawned on me. I never owned the first season because I played it on Game Tap.
Oh no!
The Turner Broadcasting System game service.
Oh, yeah. Where,
yeah, mm-hmm. Which was really ahead of its time, actually, and it was very cool.
I vaguely remember GameTap.
Basically like a proto Game Pass.
Yeah, it was Microsoft Game Pass before that was a thing.
I also remember Space Ghost Coast to Coast did a lot of GameTap stuff.
Yes,
They're near the end of its run.
Like special episodes specifically for GameTap.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, HBO Max has Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Well, that... Well, we're going to get into it after the break, but that pretty much cements me getting HBO Max, so...
But I was a big fan of GameTap. It was a very good service.
I remember the really cheesy commercials.
Yeah. Only had a ton of, like, emulated arcade games. Like, it was a legal way to run MAME emulated arcade games. It was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I didn't get the 50% off coupon, because I was going to give it to one of you guys. I'm like, well, maybe, yeah... But I don't have the rights to it.
Oh, man.
It's okay, buddy.
Yeah. Appreciate the gesture.
But it's $20. It's okay, worth that's the not... $20.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it, I think.
Yeah. It's still very funny. For some reason, and it's always been this way, Max's voice actor is different in the first episode than it is the rest of the game.
Hmm.
And once you know this, you'll never unhear it. So you're welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Maybe that's just part of the gimmick. Like, it's just the inside joke. Because like you said, as always.
They do make a joke about it in the later episodes.
Because
it was a truly episodic game where it wasn't all made at once. And
oh, right.
Up.
I remember that. Yeah. Do you think they'll go through and remaster the Strong Bad's cool game for awesome people?
I could see them doing it because Strong Bad's kind of had a... I don't know if I want to say resurgence, but... There's been some new stuff going on.
There's
lately.
Been some new stuff, and they've been talking about wanting to try to save a lot of the Homestar Runner stuff because, did you see Macromedia Flash?
Oh, it's dead. Yeah, it's dead. Died on the first.
Yeah, so a lot of folks are trying to like
convert it
and do a, what was it? There's like a archive.
Internet Archive
is doing a lot of the backups, and
I mean, it is definitely a part of like early internet history.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, it was very formative in my sense of humor.
Yeah.
Oh, the same for like all of us.
Yeah.
But like, but speaking of the Strong Bad game, it is on PlayStation now.
Oh,
it is. I didn't
you
know that.
You could probably still get it on Steam, too, I bet.
Hmm.
But that could use a new coat of paint, too.
Yeah.
Because they were working under the Wii restrictions, so it's not...
Yeah.
It doesn't look great. Like, seriously, you couldn't have a game that was more than, like, 50 megabytes or something on the old Wii Shop?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, cool. I'm glad the Sam and Max is they did a good job remastering it.
I hope they do the other two seasons. The second one could use the remaster. The third one honestly looked pretty good when it came out.
Oh, cool.
Was that the one with the devil?
The Devil's Playhouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one has some really great art direction, but this remaster brings the old games up to par with at least the Devil's Playhouse, maybe a little better.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Well, excellent.
I've been like very heavily reading a really weird webcomic.
Okay. So when did you get into Homestuck?
No.
The second part of Hive Swap came out, the point and click adventure game based in the Homestuck universe.
Why do you know that?
Anyway, tell me about Homestuck, Josh.
It's not Homestuck. It's less like a webcomic and more like a webtoon.
Okay.
Well,
you have not convinced me that it's not Homestuck yet.
It's not Homestuck. It's...
Yeah,
okay.
It was still a lot of Homestuck is actually animated, too.
Yeah.
Well, this is an anime. It's purely a comic. It's called The Skeleton Who Failed to Defend the Dungeon.
Okay. It sounds like your jam.
Yeah. And it's basically, you have this skeleton, like your typical D&D skeleton minion.
I would not have guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
So not like a Manny Calavera type.
Oh, I love Grim Fandango. Anyway.
Never finished it. I can never finish it.
I think I'm still in like the woods or something in that game.
Oh, I just got past, I've just started, it just came out on Game Pass not too long ago. And... it's just so wide open. Like, it takes forever to walk anywhere. It's just, it's too big.
Anyway, and basically it's weird. Like, it's a Korean, it was done by a Korean artist.
The name kind of gave that away, and I couldn't tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of felt that way.
And it's like, I don't know why I'm reading it so intently. I don't know, but it's, I don't know. He wakes up, like, he's in a dungeon with a succubus monster overlord lady thing, and human adventurers come in and kill everyone. Like, you know, they run in, kill everyone, and as he's dying or getting his head crushed or whatever, he wakes up 20 years in the past from his grave from the first time he was risen by, like, some novice necromancer.
Oh, okay.
But he retains all his memories from the 20 years he was existing.
Oh, interesting.
And basically he is going through and trying to be a better skeleton soldier or something so he can later, when he gets to that point in his life, he can save his mistress, monster, lady, lord. But turns out every time he dies, he wakes back up at the beginning again.
Oh.
But Groundhog Day.
That's a Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's pretty much a Groundhog Day.
It's a 20-year Groundhog Day with skeletons.
Yeah, except he retains his abilities and things he learned.
So it also sounds like a roguelike dungeon. It sounds, you're reading Hades.
Pretty. You know, I've heard that's a very good game.
I have too. I've been deeply considering it.
Yeah, I have also thought about it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know why I'm so enthralled in it. It's, I mean,
it sounds like an interesting premise.
Yeah, but then it gets into another weird kind of thing where he sometimes sees this blue box that states, like, his stats and stuff. So it's almost got, like, a weird trapped in a video game vibe.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of thing. But he doesn't quite even understand it, but he's like, hey, I learned a new skill. That'll come in useful. And then closes the window.
Happy Death Day, skeleton.
Pretty much.
Because that movie's so good.
I need to watch it.
It's really good.
Is that the horror movie, Happy Death Day? Or whatever?
Yes and no. I mean, it is a horror movie technically, but it's also very funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, I think I'm like 70 or so chapters into this thing.
70?
Yeah. Wow.
Like 7-0.
Yeah.
So it is like Comstock.
Like 7-10s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
And that's terrible.
And at first, it was like on this, it was advertised, the whole thing is I saw it advertised online or something, like a sponsored ad for like some like webtoon like or webcomic like app thing, kind of like
I get those a lot, but they're always they're pervy ones.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about me and my AdSense situation.
I mean, it's kind of like webtoon where they have like, you know, like Lore Olympus and stuff on it.
Sure.
But it's called like Tappy Toon.
I've never heard of that one.
I haven't either until I saw this ad for this stupid skeleton comic. And I'm like, so I've been reading it. And it's not pervy and dumb. So it's not like those ones.
Oh, okay. Then I'm out.
But the problem is it only gives you like maybe 3 free chapters. And then you got to buy tickets to unlock more.
That's weird.
I don't like that.
No, I didn't.
That's one way to monetize it, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't like that either.
So how much have you spent?
Not a dime, because I found something on Reddit where it took me, there's just a bunch of free scans.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, part of me is like, I feel bad because I'm not supporting the artist monetarily, but
yeah,
I'm like,
the independent creator that does that.
Well, you know what? Find the creator's Patreon and support them that way. Flip them a few bucks that way or
then
something.
Then you can cut out the
middleman.
That website.
But then, like, some of these scans or something from this comic, like, they don't have the same translator all the time.
Oh.
And
it's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
That can be jarring, yeah.
That can be, yes.
So sometimes the grammar is really bad, and sometimes some characters' names get changed almost completely. And I'm like, huh. But then you get back to where everything's normal again. It's like, oh, that was weird.
I thought that was Usagi, but now she's Serena?
That's a Sailor Moon reference, guys. You know, it's really weird, like, because now that I've watched like so much Sailor Moon, and it's all like the dubbed Japanese version,
the new version.
Yeah, yeah, and not the old
Deke dub.
Yeah,
man, that voice actress that plays Sailor Moon though, she is so funny.
She is, yeah.
It's a killer dub for what it is.
Wait, which one?
The original,
the Deke one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh. By the way, I've gotten to the point in Sailor Moon where the kitten shows up.
I didn't even know there was a kitten.
Don't spoil it. We're not that far.
I didn't know there was a kitten.
Don't talk
about it. Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Thank
Ed.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so mad when the show, like, I called it too. I was like, you know what? It's going to be this.
And that's what it is. Yes.
And I was like, God, no.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Bilbo Baggins, bravest little hobbit of them all.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. That was the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins by Captain, not Captain Spock, Mr. Spock himself, Leonard Nimoy.
I mean, he was a captain.
He was eventually a captain, I suppose, but not like traditionally.
And he's the captain every time Kirk leaves.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
Also, my new baby Yoda name is Grilbo.
Grilbo Grabbins.
Little grabby hands.
Tiny little grabby hands.
No.
He's little doing little force grabs.
those little robot ones.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into some of this news.
Come on, Cranky. Take it to the fridge.
That's so weird without the music behind it.
I know, right? That's why it's in there. Okay, Cranky, take it to the fridge. What are we starting with?
Well, since we played a song about Tolkien's vast universe.
In theory, yes. Yeah. technically speaking, yes, we did.
There's some Tolkien-related news in our universe.
I guess, yeah.
Reality.
Yes. So on not Middle Earth, actual Earth, this Earth, the...
bad Earth.
Well, yeah. Mm. some of the actors from the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit films are getting together to try to raise money to save J.R.R. Tolkien's house. Is that correct?
Yeah, the house actually had just come on the market,
mm-hmm.
and they're starting a crowdfunding campaign to buy the house and turn it into a museum.
Like, I believe you meant Hobbit Hole.
I mean, no, it's a legit house.
Yeah.
But yeah, the house where he wrote the books. And so they're wanting to turn it basically into a literary museum to the grandfather of modern fantasy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think I read somewhere about a writer's retreat in it, too, or they'd have a writer's residence.
Oh,
writer
really?
In residence type
situation. That would be cool. That would be pretty cool. But no, that's interesting. That's excellent. I hope they are able to save this guy's house.
Yeah,
and I hope
that should be like some sort of landmark.
It really kind of should be.
Landmark.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Who are some of the celebrities that are tied in with this?
So we've got Ian McKellen, you know, Gandalf or Magneto, if you like X-Men movies.
I prefer him to be the stage cat in movie Cats, the one that said meow, meow, meow.
Which one is that? Oh, my God.
Don't look at me.
Old Biggs. Old Greg the Cat.
I'm old Greg.
Old Grogu.
All right.
Let's see here.
Frumple Geezer.
So, Mark...
I like there was a solid second between me saying Frumple Geezer and a reaction.
He broke Sam.
You're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, go. Continue.
So, Ian McKellen, Martin Freeman, who played...
Which cat was he?
Fringle Gungus.
Okay, all right. We got to continue with the news. We can't just keep saying nonsense words.
Yes, these nonsensical Seussisms.
They're Jellicle words, but continue.
Jellicle cats.
Oh, yeah, that's on HBO Max, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, Martin Freeman, who played Bilbo in the Hobbit films,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people like throwing their support.
Is Sliders in there?
Yes. John Rhys-Davies.
Okay.
The inventor of White Castle.
Yeah. Yeah, not because he was on Sliders, because he likes tiny cheeseburgers.
And author Julia Golding launched the project originally.
Oh, okay, cool.
Basically, they're trying to raise like $6 million American to buy the house. And
I wish him the best of luck. I really think that, you know, this is kind of a historical landmark
sure. Like, no matter how you feel about Tolkien's work, it did open up the world of the way modern fantasy for every author in the 20th century, it writes it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he created all the fantasy tropes that people still use today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, basically, without Lord of the Rings, there's no D&D.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Halflings are just hobbits.
Yeah, they just can't call them hobbits for, you know, legal reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you read them, they're straight up hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hope they... Honestly, I think it's an easy win because
I do too.
Because there's enough people in the world that go, oh yeah, I like the Lord of the Rings, I like the Hobbit.
That seems important. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a gimme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Gimli.
It's a Gimli.
Don't toss him. But if you do, don't tell the elf.
All right, so hey, let's move on to some other news here. Let's see. You know, we talked about Pokemon a little bit in the first half of the show.
Let's do it some more.
Let's do some more Pokemon. So apparently, after, 14 years of being unable to print a specific Pokemon card.
Which I didn't even know this was a thing.
I didn't know this was a thing either until the other day.
Since they, I think maybe there was the first edition run that there had this been. Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
It did because I had these cards, and if I still had them, they'd be worth a buttload, but I don't.
Yeah, so the Pokemon Kadabra has not been allowed to be printed as a Pokemon card for 14 years because of an ongoing lawsuit from famous magician and spoon bender Yuri Geller.
Who I didn't even know who was a person until this story.
Yeah, right? But apparently, Geller has decided, you know what, I think I'm done. I'll just drop the case. It's frivolous. It's not worth my time. So they're going to start printing Kadabra and the Abra Pokemon line, like the evolutions of them.
Abra, Kadabra, and Alakazam.
Yep.
I mean, he kind of had a case.
He did a little bit.
The Japanese name of Kadabra is Young Geller.
Young Geller. And Kadabra.
And he does have spoons.
It does have spoons that he bends with his mind, which is Yuri Geller's whole shtick. So I guess he had a little bit of a case, but it was more of a, I think it was more of an homage than it was a straight up ripoff.
I think you could say parody.
Parody, kinda. Yeah.
I mean, Yo-Kai Watch has two characters, one of which's name is Steve Jaws, who is Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. but a shark.
Nice.
Like a shark in a black turtleneck. And also Shark Zuckerberg.
Nice.
It was Mark Zuckerberg, but a shark.
See, that's great.
Why do they gotta be sharks?
I don't know.
So apparently the Abra, Kadabra, and Alakazam line and Pokemon in Japanese, their names are based on different magicians. So it wasn't just Yuri Geller, but he was the only one that kind of took...
Took offense to it.
I'm actually going on Bulbapedia.
Which is the Wikipedia for Pokemon.
Which is the Wikipedia for Pokemans. And I'm going to look it up because I don't know them off the top of my head because despite how I present myself on this show, I am not a Pokedex of information typically.
David Copperfieldus, Young Geller, and Houdinian.
Let's see.
Whodunit.
Pinteller.
Okay, so. Yeah.
My favorite Pokemon, Pinteller.
Okay, so Abra is based off of Edgar Cayce, purportedly psychic.
Edgar Cayce.
Edgar Cayce, yeah. And his Japanese name is Cayce.
He was a psychic.
Psychic,
yeah. He would do readings while unconscious, I believe.
I mean, being the whole line is a psychic line of Pokemon, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then Alakazam, if I can get to the bottom of this page. God, this page is so long. Gee, many Christmas. Okay. Okay. His name is Houdin, spelled Houdin.
So kind of like
Houdini? It's Houdini. Houdini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alakazam is my favorite Pokemon.
It's a good Pokemon.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a good Pokemon.
I had a first edition Alakazam trading card.
Oh, man.
Back in the day.
Oh, man. You would have had so much money.
Yeah. Probably could have paid off my student loans if I still had that sucker.
Now, did you have the foil stamp Charizard?
No.
Yeah, that's where the real money's at.
That's where the real money's at.
Although I remember seeing one. I think my neighbor had one.
Oh, man. Did he end up sticking it in the spokes of his bike wheel?
Probably.
Yeah.
I know my brother had a first edition Blastoise.
Oh, man.
You know, it's kind of dumb when you think about these little paper cards. Like, not just with Pokemon, but like Magic and all that stuff.
Football cards right now, they're nuts.
Really?
There was a literal fight in my store over, the vendor came in and was filling them. Some lady pushed a guy and ended up pushing the vendor into the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding. That's ridiculous.
Cards right now are like insane.
Which is dumb because sports trading cards used to be worth a lot of money. Back when there was like maybe one or two publishers of sports cards.
Yeah.
Now there's so many that the value just took a nosedive into the dirt.
Apparently the value's going up now or something.
Why?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Gotta get your tops cards or your tlops cards if they're Blazeball.
But I mean that's the collector market for anything.
I know, but
figurines, comic books. Beanie Babies.
One of these days, those Beanie Babies are going to shoot back up.
They're going to, yeah. Dude, yeah.
I remember seeing pictures from a news story where a couple was divorcing.
And in
the front of the judge, they had to split their Beanie Baby collection.
Because at that time, that Beanie Baby collection was valued at around $15,000. I remember that article.
They probably there was three dinosaur ones that were worth buku bucks.
Oh, sure.
Because they're like the original ones.
The misprinted bear.
Yeah, it probably had like the Princess Di bear.
My sister still has a Princess Di bear, like in a plastic box.
Okay, I don't know if it's that to that degree, but I think my mom, she collected the Beanie Babies like crazy.
Oh, my parents were all about them too.
Like my mom bought them for us, but the way she like feverishly went to like McDonald's to get the special Happy Meal.
I was just going to say, I don't think I'd ever eaten that many Happy Meals.
Same. I was sick of Happy Meals.
Like my mom had to get the whole freaking collection.
Oh yeah.
For us.
Yep, that's what it was. It was for you guys.
No, it's not. No.
No, it is not. I mean, I enjoyed going and getting them and seeing them and stuff.
I love the thrill of the hunt. That's way with the Amiibos when they first came out. These days, you just go online, you pick up, you know, you put your order in for the newest one and you go about your day. But there for a while, I mean, they were going out of print very quickly. And so you would stand out in front of a Toys R Us when they existed at 5 a.m.
Oh, no, but with Beanie Babies, they only sold them at like grandma, like gift shops.
Grandma's Cheese Barn or whatever. Yeah,
Do you remember? I mean, you worked at the mall with me.
Yeah.
So there was that lady who had that Beanie Baby kiosk.
I remember the Beanie Baby kiosk. Yes.
Super nice lady. Mm-hmm. Super nice lady. And she had like all these Beanie Babies and they were priced at like outrageous prices. Like some were like the typical price, but some were like $15 to $50.
Yeah. Because they're like, she would sell them.
Oh, yeah. People were nuts for them. Like people, like when they knew the day she would be there, people were like flocking to her.
Mm-hmm.
I was cleaning my attic the other day and I opened this tote that had a bunch of just random toys and figures I have that I put away a long time ago, and there was a Beanie Baby in there that she gave me as a high school graduation present.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's an owl with a little graduation hat on it, and it says 2003 on it.
Aww.
And I was like, aww, I wonder how that lady's doing.
Yeah. I remember, similar to the Beanie Babies, there for a while, the Webkinz. Do you remember Webkinz? Oh, yeah.
You can still find them.
Yeah, that's a more recent one because it ties into a website as well.
Yeah, kind of like Neopets.
I worked at FYE at the height of the Webkinz, and we had a huge dump bin right in front of the... it started at the front of the store and ended up getting moved to the back of the store
because people were...
Well, they weren't stealing the Webkin. They were stealing the tag off of the Webkin so that they could go home put their code in. Yeah. But people would go nuts. Like, shipment day? Oh, man.
We got
a toucan?
Oh, man.
Everybody wanted that freaking toucan.
It's kind of funny you brought up the Webkinz. I was talking to a guy at work today, and he's like, we were like just reminiscing about the old days of like the mall and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was asking me how long I worked at GameStop and stuff. And he's like, do you remember Webkinz? And I'm like, yeah. Talking about like the Hallmark store and stuff.
Oh, yeah. The Hallmark store. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Oh, they get me with their stupid holiday ornaments.
Oh, I know.
They have like a line in on things I would exactly want an ornament of.
Mm-hmm.
This year they had an NES.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was gone. I went to the Hallmark store in Polaris and it was gone.
It was gone already. No,
I saw that one because I went there a few weeks ago looking at ornaments, and like the little door opened and everything.
Yeah, and you push the power button, it plays Mario music and the power light comes on.
That's fantastic.
They have that giant Star Trek tree topper.
Oh, I know. That
connects to all this year's Star Trek ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do like a sequence together.
Like almost a whole scene, it seems like.
I know.
It's so cool.
It's all mirror, mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're mirror themed.
I'm like, oh.
But it's like $250.
No, it's like $300 altogether.
Yeah. Oh, like, wow, that is cool. I'm like,
yeah, I can't spend that kind of money on.
But they made one that was a Donkey Kong arcade machine. I'm like, darn it, I gotta buy that. And the, what else?
Well, my Space Ghost one down there. That's a Hallmark. My folks, to this day, any Christmas vacation themed ornaments that Hallmark puts out.
There's
a new one every year. They get it every year.
I have a Harley Quinn Hallmark keepsakes line.
Yeah.
One that I bought years and years ago. I have a light up Star Destroyer.
Nice.
That plugs into the powers from the tree lights.
I have a Zelda one that's Link, but it's not just Link. It's like NES, like old retro Link.
Oh, like, excellent.
Like they were exactly like, this is the one Cody would want.
Though the Disney store has some cool like exclusive ones too.
I never thought about looking there for ornaments.
Oh yeah, they got some cool stuff. Ooh. I got a Stitch that's wrapped in Christmas lights.
Oh, that's cute.
And he hangs on my tree.
That's cute.
Oh man. Yeah. Speaking of like going back to the collectability of Beanie Babies and stuff and like the height of their power.
Yeah.
And their hold on the American people. There's a little building on 309, kind of close to the Pole Lane 309.
I remember that.
It's still there. It's a gun store now. It's been a gun store for a lot of years now, but it used to be a Beanie Baby shop. Like,
and then
purely.
For a little bit, it was also Pokemon. It also had Pokemon on the sign too.
But yeah.
Oh yeah,
It's where it's,
yes, I know what you're talking about.
It used to be called like Rod's Guns and More.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yep. It took me a second, but yeah.
That little building used to be just chock full of Beanie Babies.
I had to think which gun store.
The Beanie Shed.
Yeah. It was called something dumb like that.
Like the Beanie Barn or something.
Beanie Barn. That was its
That's
name.
That's it. Beanie Barn.
That's
yep.
what it was
I
named.
I remember going into Beanie Barn. Yeah.
It was close to our house, so like Mom would like drag us in there.
I want to create a line of plushies that are filled with baked beans. Baked Beanie Baby.
Well, then I'll create a line full of bees.
Bees?
Call them Beezy Babies.
More bees!
You know, this handsome family picnic has a lack of bees.
Bees! There is one person in our audience that is laughing hysterically at that right now.
Against the Doctor's Bees reference.
The Dr. Bees. Yeah. Hey, let's do a couple of these quick hits because we have a couple more news topics we can talk about.
Bee movies.
Speaking of collecting a bunch of pop culture knickknacks, Fortnite is...
Good segue.
Thanks. Fortnite is getting a bunch of various characters from different
licensed characters
into their newest season of their shoot 'em up game,
including Mandalorian, which is almost enough to make me consider slightly downloading Fortnite for a second.
Way to commit on that one. Way to commit on that. Yeah,
I thought about it because he looks cool.
I mean, the character is pretty cool. And he fits the theme.
And you can get his long gun.
The disintegrator rifle?
Yeah.
Well, between Cody with Mandalorian and you with Kratos.
I mean, it is the new God of War
and
Kratos.
It's current Kratos. It's dad Kratos.
It's boy.
Boy.
Kratos. And rumors that they're going to get the Halo man himself.
Yeah.
Halo.
Old Master Chef.
Dr. Halo's
John Halo.
John Halo, the Master Chief.
The dumb thing is Master Chief's name is John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's John and some numbers.
And some numbers, yeah.
John 3:16.
Can I get a hell yeah? You about spit your Mountain Dew everywhere.
So Fortnite, they're getting all these different licensed characters into the game. They got to do something. I mean, they lost their Apple case.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed on iOS anymore. So they've lost all of that revenue. So they've got to do something to bring more people in from different walks of life.
I'll tell you one thing that kind of makes me, like it's weird, because Fortnite has slowly been, like, adding more licensed events and things like that. It's almost like they're going, like, the Lego route. Where everything was original in their thing, and all of a sudden they just got bit by the license bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had their own, like, lore or whatever. But now what happened to that? Yeah.
Sorta.
I mean, it wasn't good, but
yeah,
they had
it wasn't great. But remember, Rise of Skywalker starts in, in Fortnite.
It's true. Somebody thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Whole, like, Palpatine's back and he's talking to people in the text crawl.
Fortnite.
Yeah.
They were referencing Fortnite.
Well, Fortnite, they kind of, like,
I mean, it was a pop culture touchstone real hard there for a minute.
Well, Epic tries to pass it off like it's Ready Player One's Oasis, and I guess now it kind of is.
It kind of is.
Because it's full of licensed characters that don't belong.
Yeah,
Hey, Sam, what if they chuck the Power Rangers in there?
Well,
they probably will. They would actually look about right.
I mean, they've already had a giant robot.
They would have to team up with Hasbro, and I don't think
they will.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, I'm not even sure who puts out the Fortnite toys.
They would fit the Power Rangers would fit the art style.
They would fit
pretty
really,
well.
Really well. Yeah. Oh man, if I could run around as the Megazord in there,
just hear the stomp, dun.
They got all the Marvel stuff. Where's Spider-Man?
That would be
Leo Pardon.
You know what?
Change Leo Pardon.
If you want to bring me into Fortnite, if you want to get me into Fortnite, yes, put Japanese Spider-Man into your Fortnite.
The emissary of hell.
Yeah.
I have defeated Professor Monster.
You know the weird thing is, like, they're doing this now, and a lot of things I've been reading is, like, Fortnite's popularity has taken a real sharp downward turn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one really cares about it anymore.
Thanks to the pandemic and everybody being at home, they've discovered that there are, in fact, other video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might be, like kind of a sign of the times that, like, the Battle Royale, you know...
The bubble burst.
The bubble is bursting. Because, like, you know... Stuff's not really... They're not really throwing it in as many games and stuff anymore.
They put out a Worms one the other day.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
yeah, which is like kind of late to the party there, Team 17.
Yeah. Is it time for fighting games again?
I don't know.
I mean,
is it time to come back around to fighting games?
I miss the 90s when fighting games was everything.
Man, yeah. I've thought about, like, making a fighting game, but it seems so hard. The balancing seems like
a
nightmare.
It seems very... Yeah. You're better off just making a Mugen character and submitting it to Salty Bet.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Mugen is a make-your-own-fighter fighting game program, and Salty Bet is a Twitch channel where it's a CPU versus CPU of totally broken, awful characters.
Just random, just crazy stuff.
Random playing against each other. Like, and it's great to fall asleep to.
Yeah, you'll fire it up and it's like Ronald McDonald fighting an anime girl.
Yeah.
From some anime you've never seen.
Yeah. And then Ronald does like the endless waltz from
Gundam.
Yeah. but they're cheeseburgers.
No, they're French fry wings.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
With a condiment cannon.
And then the Evangelion shows up and triggers the third impact, and everybody dies.
And everybody dies, yeah.
Oh man, that new Mortal Kombat pack though, the movie pack,
mm-hmm.
with the movie voices.
Oh, that's so good though, right?
I heard the Raiden, the Christopher Lambert Raiden. I was like, oh man,
it's so good.
It is.
I mean,
so
it's
good.
Terrible, but it's so good.
Yeah. But it's kind of weird that they only did Sonya, Johnny Cage.
Oh,
Raiden.
They're going to do more. I bet they're going to get. I mean, what's Robin Shue doing right now?
Right.
Like, not a whole lot. What's Talisa Soda doing? Well, I mean, they could probably get text to speech to do Katana's.
It's how they did
voice.
Ronda Rousey, I believe.
That was the worst decision. Yeah. That was the worst decision that they could have made. That is an okay... Mortal Kombat 11 is an okay game, and they decided to voice...
Stunt cast
Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade? They didn't even use her likeness as the character model. Like, I can understand if they just wanted to put
her
Ronda
in
Rousey
game.
In the game and just say, oh, yeah, this is Sonya Blade this
well,
time. That's
they
whatever.
They put her face in there, and suddenly Vince McMahon wants a piece.
Oh, yeah, because she's part of wrestling now.
That's right. Yeah.
Because she got her butt kicked in MMA.
Oh, yeah.
Well, her head.
She's got a fake fight now.
Yeah. okay, so a couple other things. DuckTales.
Ooh.
It looks like it's going to be ending after season 3.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's such a good show. It's a real shame, but at least
they really built on like the whole DuckTales mythos. Like,
yeah,
we
talked about this, I think, literally last week.
Yeah.
When we talked about Darkwing Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's not real. Nobody really...
No one's ever really gone.
No one's ever really gone.
In the Disneyverse.
Yeah, Darkwing Duck's going to fill that void.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll do other spinoffs as well. I have no doubt. Probably and it's going to free up the creators to go back and mine some more of our childhood. And, you know, they'll do it right.
I kind of hope they keep the same art style because I really like it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it's a great art style. Yeah.
It's surprisingly dark.
Sometimes.
Color-wise, not tone-wise. In a way that looks really good.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like Mike Mignola.
A little bit.
Style.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
it has heavy shadows every once in a while.
Yeah.
And
it has like really heavy lines, too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, they gave Huey, Dewey, and Louie some actual like varying personalities.
Yeah. They're basically all three the same guy in the original.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And the last thing we have here, and this is probably the biggest shock to me of news that came out this past week, Peter Dinklage is going to be starring in the Legendary Pictures Toxic Avenger reboot. Also, there's a Legendary Pictures Toxic Avenger reboot?
I vaguely remember them announcing this a while
ago. Yeah, a little bit, but I thought that was done. I thought they gave up on that.
There's still hope.
There's yeah.
Like, no one's ever really gone.
No one's ever really gone. Yeah.
But, I think putting a big budget onto Toxic Avenger is one of the most ill-informed things
you can bizarre.
Do.
It's bizarre. Yeah. It's absolutely bizarre.
And the thing is, it's Legendary Pictures. And if it has a red screen, that means it's going to be a terribly gory, ugly movie.
Well, so is the original.
I know. Yeah.
But
like, I don't know how... So how would you do a Toxic Avenger reboot? Because you can't you can't try to match the original because you're not going to hit that tone ever. And if you take it another direction, people are going to say, well...
That's not Toxic Avenger.
Spending a bunch of money is like the antithesis of trauma.
Yeah. Like, unless Legendary comes in and spends as little money as possible and decides, okay, we're going to do this low budget. We're going to do this under $1 million. And that might be the only way to do it, but they're not gonna. I mean, look at what they did to Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. What if this is the start of like a Legendary Pictures Tromaverse?
Toxic/Avengers.
Toxic/Avengers, yeah.
Power/Rangers.
Oh, so would this mean that like you're saying Toxic Avenger multiverse? So like the next one is Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD.
I hope so.
Forgot about that movie. That's a great.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's terrible.
It's arguably better than any. Well, okay, I like Toxic Avenger the best out of all of them, but I would say it's better than any Toxie sequel.
Class of Nukem High,
yeah.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, jeez.
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't a Lloyd Kaufman. I thought it was.
Oh.
That was one of their many, many, many licensed bad movies.
Like Cannibal
the Musical, yeah.
You know, but, I would like to see like kind of a... Not a mid-budget remake of Cannibal.
A mid-budget, yeah.
I think that would be good.
Yeah. I think that'd be all right. I could go for that. Now, are they going to take Toxie in the classic Toxic Avenger line, or are they going to do the Toxic Crusaders?
Oh, man. You know, back in the day when you made a cartoon series of movies that kids should not have seen.
Rambo.
RoboCop. Because they look cool as toys.
That Beetlejuice cartoon where he and Lydia are best buds.
Yeah.
And instead of the actual...
Where he tried to force marry her.
Yeah.
I love that cartoon.
That's a really good cartoon, but boy, is it not the same as the movie.
Do you remember the one where like Edgar Allan Poe comes to visit Beetlejuice?
Yes.
Oh, and he's so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just play on all the different like plot points of all mm-hmm. the Poe.
I think all of my like gothiness stems from me watching that show so much as a kid. My like of that kind of stuff, I think fully Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Did you see there's a documentary series on Netflix about the holiday films that made us? And there's a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, there is
episode.
Huh. Oh, nice.
It explains how they made that. It really makes Tim Burton seem like a real jerk, though.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit.
He's not there for most of the production, and it's people trying to capture his style while he's off working on Batman. And then the times he did come in, it's like, he got so mad he kicked his Doc Martens into the wall, made a hole in my wall. And he got so mad he attacked an editing machine. It's like, man.
Jeez.
What a baby.
Yeah, oh man.
like that right there, like, reminds me of when he did the Planet of the Apes. And somebody called it a remake. He's like, it's not a remake, it's a reimagining. I'm like, that's another fancy word for remake.
Yeah.
Well, he got mad because somebody claimed that, or Kevin Smith, he stole the ending from Kevin Smith.
He absolutely stole the ending from Kevin Smith.
And then Tim Burton's response was, I would never steal from a medium as lowly as comics. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you made two Batman movies.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right, well, hey, we have actually hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number's 586-372-8020. Tell us what your favorite Tim Burton movie is. Mine's Beetlejuice.
Ed Wood.
Oh, Ed Wood is really
100%
good.
Ed Wood.
Hmm.
Come on, Josh. We know you have one.
I know, but it's hard. Because, you know,
Before Christmas doesn't count.
I know.
Did he do Big Eyes?
Yes, he did do Big Eyes.
That's
Big
a good one.
That was a really good movie.
Josh, you know you're going to say Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Edward Scissorhands. Oh, hell no. I hate that movie.
Somebody should say Edward Scissorhands because that is also very
fantastic.
I mean, it is very
good,
but I also really enjoyed Sleepy Hollow, too.
Sleepy Hollow is okay. Yeah, that's a good one. You would like Sleepy Hollow. Yeah.
Ray Park was the Headless Horseman, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can find past episodes of our show on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. And you should. It's actually pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I love our song.
Yeah. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Atlas Video Game Company, please let Calliope Mori play Persona 3 on her stream.